You are listening to the Sports Chop Shop. And now, your host, Adam Bailey and Ben Downey.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Sports Chop Shop, Season 2, year number 2. And a new co-host, along with me and Ben, joining us this year. I would do a drum roll or something that degree, but it's our buddy Chris rounding out the three hosts for here you on the Sports Chop Shop. First of all, yeah, clap it out for Chris, new guy, and we think it's going to be exciting. Say hey to everybody, Chris. Say hello.
How's it going, everybody? Thank you, Mike, for not being part of this season. I don't know you,
Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Mike.
We miss Mike too.
Yeah, Mike sounds like a great guy.
The show hasn't been the same since Mike left. But yes, Ike is going to be he's busy with the schooling and and as he should be, the young scholarly lad. So we'll be missing him probably for this season. But of course, he is always welcome back. But, you know, and the funny part about Ike not being on the show anymore with his Bills allegiance.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's a huge Bills fan, if you didn't know, Chris. Of course, our avid.
No idea.
No. But, yes.
Yeah, shocker, Chris didn't know it. He also didn't know his name was, you know, Ike instead of Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mike sounds better.
It rolls off the tongue. It does.
It does.
Yeah,
it doesn't make me think of a wife beater, so I'm going to just call him Mike.
And, yes, Ben is back with us as well. Say hello to the fans. They've missed us, Ben.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
All right. We're having a good time. All right, so we are actually a little bit late to this NFL NCAA season. We are sorry for the delay, but we are back for you. And there's many things to talk about, so many that we should probably just jump right in. We are in week 3 of the NFL season, and a plethora of subjects we can pick from. But I think since in honor of their pretty – I don't know. Miraculous is not the right word, but it's certainly exciting. So we're going to give them props and talk about first question. Whose 3-0 start is more impressive, the Bills or the Lions?
Is it hands down the Bills? Is that even a question? Hands down the Bills.
Why?
Why hands down the – I mean – first of all, the Lions, we've been talking about the Lions and the hope we have for them with a healthy Matthew Stafford under center. We had expectations of them at least going to one of these opening weeks, having a lot of firepower, a lot of weapons on offense and defense. I don't think 3-0 is that much of a stretch for the Lions where they are right now. Bills, though? Come on.
Both are very starving franchises, starving Indeed. Cities for wins. So can it be a tie? Why does it have to be one over the other? I mean,
not what we do here.
That's not what we do here. I will say that the Bills' run is dramatic. It has a flair for the dramatic.
Absolutely.
And it's not as, you know, it's not that they're thumping people. They're coming from behind in two of their games.
Yeah.
But you know, not to discount what Detroit's doing after being down 21-0 on the road in Minnesota. Last time they won was, what, 90-something in Minnesota? It's crazy that the streaks ended.
Let's not forget that they went into Tampa Bay week one, the same Tampa Bay
right.
that just beat the Falcons
right.
last week.
That's right.
Honestly, as far as quality of opponent, I might have to give the edge to the Lions. You got Tampa, you got Minnesota on the road,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, and you know, not to mention the
Chiefs,
the one gimme game they had, they put up 48 points. That was a blowout, 48-3. So.
Well, I mean, they have a common opponent, don't they? Because so the Lions beat the Chiefs 48-3, and what did the Bills do against the Chiefs week one?
41-7.
There you go. So yeah. Lions greater than Bills. Boom. We have numbers.
Bills greater than Lions. Bills greater than Lions.
We have a measuring stick, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'd also like to point out the Lions have been streaking since the end of last season, all the way through the preseason up until now. The Bills.
They make those preseason games count.
They do make those preseason games count, which is more you could say for most teams that already had winning records. I will say this about the Bills though. They were like 4-12 last year, right, or 5-11 something. A number of their games were decided by very touchdown close. Or less. Very,
they were
very
in
close
many
games.
Of those
games. They were in, yeah, they were.
Now
so
they're just on the other
team.
Side. They're on the
exactly.
other side.
Exactly.
And you know what? Sometimes those young teams need that year. I mean, I see it a lot in sports, across many sports. The young team that has to have – maybe they had a poorer losing previous season, and then they have that one season where they learn how to be competitive, and maybe it doesn't result in wins. Maybe it doesn't get them in the playoffs or get them a higher ranking in the playoffs. But you learn as a team to be competitive. So when you get into these games now, you just have a belief that you can win because you've had a taste of – coming down to the fourth quarter against these perennial playoff franchises, and now you know that you have the talent and the ability to probably beat these teams.
Particularly a team like the Patriots, even though their defense is, I think, last or close to last right now, to come back against
the
Tom Brady. Were they last year? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were – I don't remember the number. But
terrible defense last year. But, you know, the Patriots and Tom Brady find a way to win. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Bills. Now, Matthew Stafford and the Lions. I mean, yes, I do agree. I think the consensus on the Lions was, sure, if Matt Stafford can stay upright, they can make the playoffs, possibly. But still,
I hope so. I'd like to see
still,
that.
They had a slow start last year with many of the same pieces. But now they're learning to be an efficient winning franchise. I don't know. I would have to push towards, I mean, the Bills more dramatic.
I think the Lions have more longevity as the season goes on. I think they can go deeper than the Bills can.
Yeah, and I think that comes down to the fact that they have the prototypical kind of weapons that will get you wins deep in the season.
Yeah, but there's something to be said about building the franchise from the inside out, and that's what the Bills have. I mean, both franchises have really done this, but it's kind of a band of misfits in Buffalo. You don't really hear of anyone. I mean, at least you hear of, you know, you hear of Calvin Johnson, you hear of Matthew Stafford. I mean, Randy Fitzpatrick, who heard of him coming out of Harvard? No one. No one, unless your name is Mel Kiper Jr. and you have your slick back hair. You haven't heard of that kid.
And this is his eighth season in the NFL. He's been
right.
Around for eight
years.
Yeah,
I understand that. And there's something to be said about him being a veteran and being there before.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I think the Bills are just as deep as the Lions.
It's funny. I remember I said on a show last season that, hey, the Bills got something going with this Fitzpatrick guy. I mean, he could – why can't he be the answer?
Ike would punch you in the face.
Was he?
Oh, and I got the all caps text from Ike after he'd heard that show and said, Fitzpatrick is not the answer.
I remember him. And he wanted Cam Newton. Well, he wasn't wrong there. He wasn't wrong,
but – and we'll get to that in a second. But come on. I mean, I wrote on his Facebook wall before the Patriots game, I want you to say something nice about Cam Newton. Or about Ryan Fitzpatrick. And he hasn't. I'm just
okay, good.
Waiting on
good.
Something nice. Say something nice about him, Mike. That's all I want to hear.
Yeah, Mike, come on.
What are you going to say, Chris?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, he got it.
I got it in there. Last second.
Nailed it.
Speaking of surprising starts and talking about franchises that usually would not get the headline treatment, let's keep it going. Let's talk about those Oakland Raiders.
Oh man, yeah, definitely.
Chris, your dark horse pick coming into this season. Talk about them. Hit us with what you're liking about your Raiders.
I don't know. I'd say they're my dark horse coming into the season.
They lose Nnamdi Asamoah. They got a new.
Can I point out my dark horses from last year are now looking pretty good as opposed to when they were.
Who were your dark horses from last year?
Lions and Raiders.
Oh, okay.
Well, did you necessarily declare new dark horses for this season? Because they can just carry over from your.
They're just the eternal dark horse, and they're bound to cash in at one point, right? See, I told you 27 years ago they were going to be good once.
Listen, I don't know if the Raiders are my dark horse necessarily. You look, they play Denver at Denver, Buffalo at Buffalo, and then they had the Jets at home. I mean, I think we kind of expect them to beat Denver, and we didn't know anything about Buffalo really in week two other than that they put that wallop on the Chiefs. That was a surprising game for everyone and exciting. But this week, with Darren McFadden going 171 yards against the Jets defense –
yeah.
That's impressive to me, and that stands out. Like, this is the game where people are starting to take notice. They weren't looking at the Denver game or the Buffalo game as necessarily, you know, what do the Raiders have? But now they are. Now we know what they're capable of against a really good football team.
If Darren McFadden can stay healthy, he looked like the Run DMC of old, of the number five Arkansas days. I mean, he is starting to look like that player that we all thought he would look like coming out of that Heisman hopeful year. And that run last week for what, 60 something yards? How far did he go in just beating the entire Jets defense? The entire Jets defense. I mean,
that was 70 yards.
Yeah,
70 yard run.
Starting to look like every bit the player he should have been. And this brings us to, and this is just kind of how we do it on the Sports Chop Shop, Chris. I believe you have a game ball, your very first game ball to hand out.
My game ball goes to Ron DMC. Good job, man. You've earned my respect. He's listening right now, by the way, Darren McFadden.
Shouts
He's
to DMC.
He's a big fan of Chop Talk.
What up?
Shouts to Darren. I got him on speed dial. It's fine. It's not a big deal. Yeah. So, there you go. First game ball. Clap it. First game ball. On the show.
It's pretty funny to watch the head icons whenever we clap like that because they're all sporadic.
They just freak out.
And looking elsewhere, I mean, speaking of, real quick, the AFC West, Kansas City appears to just looking like last year was a complete fluke. What I mean is there anything to say about a 10-win playoff team that just hasn't been showing up this season?
Charlie Weiss jumped ship at the right time.
Sure did.
I feel bad. I feel really bad for the Chiefs, man. I really liked the Chiefs last year. I was hoping they could bring it together again this year, man.
Well, yeah. And don't they play another 0-3 team this week?
Do they?
Yeah, they play the Vikings this week.
So, oh man,
someone's got to win.
Someone's got, yeah, oh boy.
Listen, if the Vikings are up by 17 or 20 at the half, we can all agree the Chiefs will win that game.
Vikings, the best 30 minutes of football that you'll ever see.
let's swing it up north a little bit, and Chris, we'll reveal a little bit about yourself and your allegiance to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Damn right. All right, that's where I was born. That's who I'm going to pick forever. No matter how frustrating it is to watch them my entire life.
All right.
Cunningham,
well, let's talk about how frustrating your Eagles have been losing to my dang Falcons in week two.
Hold up. Yeah, that was week two. I think we're over that, aren't we?
We're not over that. We're just noting it in your consecutive disappointments that this season appears to be heading in.
It's footnoted. Thank you, David Foster Wallace.
I wouldn't want to dwell on it either, but
I don't either. But while we're on the topic, why don't we talk about Tampa Bay and Atlanta this week, week three game?
Because we're talking about your Eagles, all right?
All right, fine. I'm
but
sorry.
But I will say this. I mean, who would have thought that both the Eagles and the Falcons would both be 1-2 sitting at the bottom of their divisions?
Yeah. And the Browns are 2-1.
Or the Bears. The Bears, for that matter. Three divisional leaders from the NFC. The top three, all 1-2 right now. And all playing sloppy ball.
Who do you see turning it around?
I see the Bears turning it around faster than the Falcons and the Eagles.
Really?
Yeah. I say
no
really.
Way.
You say no way? Come on.
Their offensive line is Swiss cheese. Cutler's going to be down just as soon as Vic is down.
They ran
That's the same thing that's happening in Atlanta, by the way.
It's a good thing you guys auctioned all those draft picks to the Browns and didn't draft an offensive lineman and got an offensive, what is it, wideout? There you go. Every time you guys lose, I get a little excited at them. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
just because I hate the Falcons for no reason.
And I get a first-round pick, and it's better if you guys lose.
Well, you're dancing puppet.
We're not just going to roll over.
Who's your team, Ben? I know
Browns.
Nothing about your – oh, the Browns. Oh, yeah. Okay, I can see that.
There you go. That's all the Browns hype.
Then speaking, but who is your answer for who is going to turn this around quickly between the Bears, Falcons, and Eagles, Ben?
Oh, I got to say the Eagles.
Really?
I got to say the Eagles because either you get Vic back or you get Vince Young back. Both of those teams can carry a team to the playoffs.
And so no one's going to pick my Falcons.
No.
Sorry. No. Not this year, buddy.
You gave me the three choices. Second would be the Falcons, and then distant third is the Bears.
I don't know. The Bears pulled it together last year with the same shitty offensive line. I mean, it really is starting like a repeat for the Bears. I don't know what they started last year, but I mean, he was sacked almost as many times as he's been sacked thus far.
I I mean, I tell you what, you texted me Monday, Ben, about how the Bears being 2-1 and the Falcons 1-2. I will say that
was
with
the Browns, not the Bears.
Sorry about that. The Browns, yes. Your Brownies 2-2-1 over my 1-2 Falcons. What I will say about the slow start for the
Bears,
Falcons,
the Bears are 1-2.
The Bears are 1-2. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're talking about the Browns, okay? But we're moving past the text message. And honestly, with the Falcons' early half of the schedule, specifically to these three games, with on the road against the Bears and the Eagles at home, and then the Bucks on the road, which is always a tough game. 1-2 is about where I expect it to be, frankly. Maybe in not such a grand fashion against Chicago, and maybe not such a frustratingly decrepit fashion against the Bucks. But I thought we would drop a few games in there. That's a tough stretch to win two games in, much less three. So I think we're going to get back on track next week. And
Mighty Seahawks,
yeah,
at home with the 12th man.
That's a
home
check.
Home field advantage.
So that's a check mark, and I think we'll be back on track. With the Bears, yeah, it's kind of the same stuff going on. That defense is going to have to be stepping up all the time. That aging Bears defense is going to have to probably recover the ball a bunch for that Swiss cheese offensive line. But
who do the Bears play next week? Where are the Bears going?
Panthers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll help. Actually, all three of those teams are going to probably have a decent week. The Falcons and the Seahawks, Eagles and the 49ers, yeah. Even though they came off a convincing 13-8 win against the Bengals, I have to say.
That was 3-3 until, like, the bottom of the eighth.
I'm going to ask you a question, Chris, because as a Falcons fan,
okay,
as we've discussed, and you as a Eagles fan, we have both cheered for the man Michael Vick.
We have.
As our starting quarterback. How you feeling about Vick right now, buddy boy?
I'm a little embarrassed for all the shit talking I was giving to people before the year began about how Mike Vick was going to tear them up. And it just I don't know, man. It's not looking good. I don't like the tempo that their season is starting in, and you leave a game with a bruised hand. You leave it to Mr. Kafka. I don't know. It's not leader quality. And he has that statement about the referees, which just sounds like kind of a petulant child.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating for me. I mean, that's not the kind of thing you would have gotten out of a classy Donovan McNabb or even a Cunningham back in the day.
And here's what I'm going to say to you, buddy. Welcome to it. Welcome to Michael Vick as your starting quarterback. And it is...
You warned me. Every Falcons fan has warned me. And now it's the prophecy is coming
because
true.
Because it's playing out the exact same way. Down to the... He has a breakout season. He had a breakout season last year for you, just like he made a splash his first season with us. And lo and behold, I'm just saying, he starts to get injured here and there. He starts to show that he's still a blame thrower. Mm-hmm. He's still not going to put the onus on him. He's still talking. He's talking before the Giants game, saying, "Oh, I wouldn't want me to start if I was the Giants. I wouldn't want me for 60 minutes with a smirk on his face." And then he can't finish his second consecutive game. He's the same guy. Maybe he knows how to prepare and listen to coaches a bit better, but he's the same arrogant off. It seems like he is the same human being. Maybe he's not fighting dogs anymore, but he is. He doesn't seem to have the wherewithal physically and mentally to be a starting quarterback. And listen, I know I got a little graphic there for a second, but that is Michael Vick. Sorry,
that was heinous.
You're clearly passionate. You have not let this Michael Vick thing go.
No, I've let it go.
It seems like very few Falcons fans have, but it's okay.
I don't have to like the guy.
You don't have to like the guy. I didn't say you did.
I'm just saying, don't get caught up, because here you go. This is exactly how it started to play out in Atlanta. Hey, maybe he rebounds and he comes back and the Eagles win the division and they win a Super Bowl, but history repeats, buddy.
Michael Vick is not the Eagles. I just want to say that. Michael Vick is not the Philadelphia Eagles team. He is a starting quarterback. He's one of many weapons. And you have Andy Reid, who I trust wholeheartedly.
Are you going to make the playoffs if Vick isn't your quarterback?
I'd say yes.
I don't know. That division, I don't think so.
I think he gives him the best chance. I don't think Vince Young or Mr. Kafka gives him the best chance. Michael Vick gives him the best chance. But you have Giants, the Cowboys, and the Redskins. It's always been a hard division. But this year, I mean, I don't think they can without Michael Vick.
Yeah, I'm that's just how I'm gonna leave it. That's how I'm gonna leave it. But that is an interesting NFC East this year. And so let's swing it over to the top of the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys winning a gutsy, gritty, albeit field goalie victory over the Redskins on Monday Night Football. And Tony Romo doing it all his dang self.
Yeah.
It seems like, and this is going to lead us to a lot of storylines with that game and the Cowboys in particular. But let's just I'll throw it to you, Ben, to kind of give some of the background since he is your
game ball.
Yay!
Tony Romo. He had to play train conductor. The most specific play and the most hilarious play was when they had, I don't know if it was first and goal from the two or it was one of those when they were down at the two-yard line. And he's basically telling each and every wide receiver where to line up and their route. And this is on top of having you know, a punctured lung, you know, possibly two broken ribs, playing through pain, and, you know, some of his wide receivers not being there, obviously.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't even need to get into the week two gutsy performance against the San Francisco 49ers. He breaks his ribs because he's getting slammed on the ground over and over. And then comes back from that, gets back into the game, and wins. If Tony Romo is finally showing some gutsiness, dare we say. He is the reason why the Cowboys are winning. He is being a leader. He's kind of – it's funny. You know, you look at what Tony Romo has been doing in the past 2-3 weeks, and you look at what Michael Vick has been doing, and you look at how their quality as a leader. What's Vick blaming on? And Tony Romo not accepting to be not in the game. It's funny that one is at the top of the division, one's at the bottom.
I mean, the Cowboys are a very self-conscious team. You know, you looked at them ever since Romo started, and maybe it was this way beforehand, but you tell them that they're bad, and then they're going to start playing worse. And if you start heaping praise onto the Cowboys, they're going to start playing better because they're America's team and whatnot. So I expect them to start doing very well, especially as Romo gets healthy, they get Miles Austin back. I'm afraid of the Cowboys right now. I am terrified of what they're going to do. Right now, I pick them as the best team in the NFC East.
Well, not even to mention their defensive line, which wrecked havoc on Mr. Grossman last night.
That's, you got to love Rex being Rex. Right,
oh, my gosh.
Right at the critical moment, rolling out,
what?
Not feeling the defensive pressure behind him, and stripped on their last final possession to win the game for the Cowboys. And I texted
Rexy.
You guys.
Yes,
I
did.
You. I said, look, listen, Rex, you want to say in the preseason, I said it when they got the ball with under 2 minutes to play. Listen, Rex, you want to win the division, you win this game. Ball's in your hands, buddy. And what does he do? Rex being Rex. And
he always looks like he's surprised about everything.
He really does.
I mean, it's just from Florida. So, and now speaking of, though, we do have an interesting situation. All three teams except the Eagles in the NFC East are 2-1. The Giants with the surprising win. Let's not overlook the Giants in this storyline about the Eagles. Giants go into Philly and win the game when no one thought
they
were going to.
Yeah.
So how much clout do we put into this Giants team that's 2-1 right now?
I don't know, man. Like, it's hard to tell who the Giants are right now because they play a lot of sloppy ball and then they do pull it together. And Eli, you know, as much as I hate him and he will be my villain until he retires, threw a good game, fairly accurate.
I mean, look at all the injuries that they've had to sustain. I mean, both their cornerbacks go out in preseason. I think they've even had three quarterbacks go out. They've been decimated by injuries, and still they put together a team to win. Victor Cruz is a practice squad member. That's and the game he had against the Eagles was ridiculous.
It is hard to know who they are, and I mean, I think it's hard to define the NFC East in general, frankly. No one looks particularly overwhelming, and no one looks particularly underwhelming. I mean, even the Eagles, for all the gruff I was giving them, that's still a very, very dangerous team. Honestly, here's what I think about the Eagles specifically, and I don't mean to keep going back to them. I think they're going to be the Miami Heat of last year, and it's the kind of a similar storyline. They go out, they buy their team. It's kind of a group of people that carry some bad PR,
Yeah.
And they're the anointed dream
Who's
team.
Who's the other one? Well, I guess Vince Young.
Vince Young, yeah.
That's it.
I mean, but DeSean Jackson has that kind of swagger about him. Of you know,
I love DeSean Jackson, man. That dude is all about the team. That's what I love about him most of all.
But
like,
you can't imagine he doesn't have – you can't say he doesn't have that kind of arrogance about him. I mean, that's
of
definitely
course
part
not.
Of, exactly. It's part of his whole, you know, bravado and, you know, just player essence, whatever. But
especially coming off a season like last season.
I agree.
So many plays.
I think – I don't like his big, big celebrations that he does when he's crossing the goal line. I mean, albeit 20 yards in front of any receiver, that kind of –
back.
Or excuse me. Yeah, that kind of goes above the line for me. But I will say, I think it's going to play out like that that Miami Heat team. That it's going to take them the regular season to kind of figure it out, but they'll win enough games to get in the playoffs, and then they'll kind of catch fire in the playoffs. They will not be the team you want to see in the postseason. I will say that with confidence, no matter where they're at. As long as they can make the postseason, you won't want to see them.
Join us next week for Eagles Half Hour.
Yeah. We have been talking about them a lot. I disagree. I don't think that's going to happen this year for them. Adam, I don't feel it right now. I don't think they're going to win their division. They could pull out a wild card spot, but I don't know.
Early
I
on.
Don't know.
Quick, who is the third highest passer in the NFL as far as yards? Who is the third highest total yards in the league? You can't answer like you already know.
We do.
Cam Newton.
Cam.
Yeah, he's not necessarily being the most efficient. His completion percentage is below his other top five compadres, and he only has thrown for 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. However, even in 2 losses, you have to take notice of what Cam Newton has done so far in the NFL. What are your early impressions of him, Ben?
2 400-yard games in his first two games as a pro. I mean, that's impressive. They did come in losing efforts on the road in Arizona. Who did he lose to week 2?
Packers.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't even supposed to be in that game against the Packers, and they made a heck of a game out of it. Threw all over the defending Super Bowl champions. This week was a bit of a wash due to God, really. A biblical flood that came over Carolina against Jacksonville. And really, obviously, you know, affected his numbers. But he did lead them on the game-winning drive. And that was, you know, that was very impressive. And to show that he can win in the next level is important. I mean, obviously important.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Cam Newton, hate Cam Newton. As you said, impressive. It is impressive. I think the people who are not sold on Cam Newton yet will remain that way.
And that's
like
a
myself.
Shame. You're not. Oh, really?
Yeah, he has all the physical attributes, but I am just not convinced he can read a defense still.
Really?
Even with the big passing games, he's going to have to sustain it. And he cannot keep playing the way he plays so far in the 3 weeks, the way he did at Auburn. You can't be running out there taking on defenders. He is a huge guy.
He's done a lot in the pocket. Look at the amount of passes he's thrown.
Yes, but he cannot keep getting hit. He can throw all those passes in the pocket, but the 1 or 2 times where he's going to run out there and take on, you know, a corner or a safety or even a linebacker, he's going to get popped the wrong way over a 16-game season. He's got to learn how to get down and use that speed to be smart. To know when to pick up yards and to know when to make that second effort, when to hit that sideline, when to
I think
slide.
He's been playing great. I think
I agree with you, Ben. I don't think this changes the book on him, though. I really don't.
I don't think there's book yet on Cam as a professional player, 3 games into his professional
ben.
Career.
I'm sold. I'm
three
sold.
Games, you're sold.
I am sold. I've seen this kid play.
Can we not be overreactive and say that we
not going to buy or sell Cam Newton yet. Let's see after the entire 16 weeks are up. Let's see.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not buying or selling yet. Yes, I'm impressed, but you're sold.
Yeah,
I'm a quick buyer.
I will say
I'm an easy sell.
Like I was saying earlier about the young teams learning how to be competitive, this might be Carolina's year. I don't think they'll make a playoff run in the NFC South. But certainly, it looks like they may have their guy. Okay, that's what I'll say. It looks like they may have their starting quarterback for the long term. Who knows?
They brought Steve Smith to life. I like this team in the future. I like the NFC South in the future, man. He gives that entire franchise hope.
He does.
And that's going to feed into the entire organization. So 2-3 years, who knows? Who knows going to be at the top of that division?
It's been a good 3 weeks. It's great to have football back, and I've like most NFL fans, have not been able to get enough. One franchise that is maybe not as happy to have football back is the franchise that seems to have not returned, albeit if not for a specific player, the Colts, who are 0-3 with Kerry Collins.
Wah, wah.
First of all, I don't know why of all the quarterbacks available that you clearly need a second option and you go to Kerry Collins, you give the keys to Kerry Collins.
Who else is out there?
Anybody, obviously.
Really? I mean, the Colts see him twice a year. Have seen him twice a year for what, 2-3 years now? They know what he's got. They know what he's got. It's not like he's a bum.
I think it's a shame that this happened before David Grier got cut from the Jets.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, but they can't, you know, you can't go back. Be like,
at least Carson with the
psych. The Bengals aren't going to trade him.
They're just going to let him die.
That's fine.
There's no backup anywhere that you can lure. There is nobody. There is no free agent.
I'm sure they went through the list.
Kerry Collins.
That whole Peyton Manning neck thing is a little funny. I mean, you're telling me before he signed this $90 million contract, he didn't know he was going to miss a good chunk of the season, and now it looks like the entire season. Why would you put him in anyway? I think just, you know, put him in next year. You don't want to risk it.
I mean, talking about who we're going to put in, I mean, Chris, you're bringing it up before the show.
Let Curtis Painter take the rest of the season. Kerry Collins, this is not the first concussion he will get this season. I mean, he's Kerry Collins. When has he been an all-star?
That's kind of what I'm saying.
4 or 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a playoff caliber quarterback in his career.
He's been a quarterback on a playoff caliber team. Like, he was carried by the Giants defense for a very, very long time.
He's got Reggie Wayne. He's got Dallas Clark. He's got Dwight Freeney. He's got stars on that team, and they're just severely underproducing.
He does, but his career is over. This is the epilogue to the Kerry Collins novella.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, he's not a viable NFL player anymore. You're telling me he's your best option? A guy who was, and Curtis Painter.
At this point, would you take Brett Favre or Kerry Collins?
I would take neither. What a retarded question.
But you have to. I mean, like, what other options did they have? They went through the list.
What about Painter?
They know him, and they do not feel confident in him as being an NFL quarterback. So they went.
Then they should not pay him. They should just cut him. If they're going to keep paying him, they might as well.
He's a backup quarterback. He's making league minimum.
This is a backup quarterback season for the Colts, man. They're probably going to end up having the worst record in football this year, if the Chiefs don't pick it up. So why not give your quarterback who you have no faith in a chance to start in a season that you already know is lost, to give him some.
You didn't know that. I mean, you had to play the games to figure out that your team was no good. Well, going into the season, would you rather have Curtis Painter or Kerry Collins? And if you say Curtis Painter, you have no idea what he's doing. And they've had him now for 2 or 3 years, and he's been on the bench and he's been practicing.
I would not start Kerry Collins under pretty much any circumstances. Painter. He's a younger guy.
He's a safe choice.
He's not a safe choice.
I mean, right now you know that, but you didn't know that going into the season.
Yes, I did. I laughed at this as soon as the news broke. I was baffled. I couldn't believe it.
You guys are defending Curtis Painter here.
I'm defending.
Yeah, no, we're trash talking Kerry Collins. All right, a decrepit old man who is defenseless. That's what's going on.
At the very least, as Chris is saying, if you're gonna pay Curtis Painter, play him, see what he can do. At the very least, he's a backup next season, and he has more game experience.
Yeah, exactly.
So if and when Peyton goes down in a crucial game, you know he can step in. I mean, why would you give him zero experience in a throwaway season where he could at least be a better player for the season that you will have your apples in the barrel for?
Well, how about that? Why didn't they get someone to go underneath Painter then? They could have. They had that option. They could have spent way less money.
The whole Indianapolis Curtis Painter's dilemma is a mystery. I think
he's
to a lot
terrible.
Of people,
he's worse than Kerry. He was a worse option at the beginning of the season than Kerry Collins, according to the Indianapolis people.
Then they're
they
wrong.
They should have cut him. Maybe they should have found someone else, but they didn't. You know, he's there. He might as well be their guy this season.
I just don't understand if you have the younger athlete and you have a guy that you can give some experience to. I mean, at this point, and now that, okay, but here's the thing. It's not the beginning of the season. Now
he's concussed, so it's kind of a moot point at this point, right?
But if he wasn't concussed, should he be the starter next week? I mean, honestly, how long was this going to go on the way it was going on?
Well, they first of all, they didn't know how long Mr. Manning was going to be out. There was an initial report that he'd only be out a week or two. So he was really a stopgap measure. He wasn't supposed to go the whole season.
Why even go out and sign some other dude that maybe you only need for a week?
That's what they did.
But what NFL franchise does that? The
Indianapolis Colts, they did that.
The Steelers last year knew that Ben Roethlisberger was going to miss four games. Yeah. Do they go and sign some new guy?
Byron Leftwich?
They already had him coming into the season. They already had him. They signed him previously. They had Byron Leftwich and Dennis Dixon.
I don't think they had Byron Leftwich.
I'm wildly ecstatic that the Colts are a non-issue, a non-threat this season. I like the doors it opens up, particularly for the Texans.
Is anybody excited about the Texans? Yeah, they're 2-1. Even if they do make the playoffs.
Name Matt Schaub's biggest game.
Exactly.
I mean, that's all you need to know about the Texans.
Yeah.
I can't get excited for the Texans, but I'm rooting. I'm rooting for them.
No, we'll F them.
No, why?
F them
not?
Because the Browns don't have a Super Bowl. They don't need one either.
Oh, the Browns.
Yes, I'm gonna pull that card.
Well,
hey, I like the Browns. I'd really like the Browns. I like Colt McCoy. I like their whole offense.
Massaquoi.
I saw the most sad hype tape for Massaquoi as a Brown. It's just terrible.
It's a lot of like long inbound completion.
It's like, oh, this is great. bomb. Nothing really impressive.
and by the way, to throw it back to the Colts just a little bit as far as them being 0-3. Speaking of all of our 0-3 teams,
Minnesota. Drumroll, please.
Yes, Minnesota, St. Louis, Miami, and of course the Colts and the Chiefs, who we've mentioned previously. Mm-hmm. Which surprises you most, Chris?
Surprises me most? The Vikings. I'll have to go with the Vikings. 3 weeks in a row, you're up 17 or 20 points at the half, and then you just let it all fall apart. And you've got a great veteran quarterback, a once great quarterback.
I was about to say, if you're gonna trash Kerry Collins.
No, don't trash Donovan McNabb. Come on.
All right. Oh, you're an Eagles.
No, I'm going to step in on that, too. Are you kidding me?
Comparing Kerry Collins to Donovan McNabb?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Ben Downey. Okay. Are you kidding me? How many teams did Donovan McNabb carry on his back? You know, how many wins did the Eagles accrue? How many points?
I'm saying at this point, if you're going to make the same argument that he's old and he's past his prime,
No, he's not. He is past his prime, but he's certainly not Kerry Collins. He's certainly not old and gray, and he's a better quarterback. He's 2 years removed from being a playoff quarterback for the Eagles. What are you talking? He's not Kerry Collins in any sense. He's old. Yes, he's above 30. He's above age 35.
All right.
Donovan, I will say this, though, fairly about Donovan, kind of to take a little bit of Ben's side here. Donovan lost a lot of key games to the Philadelphia Eagles, and I like to call those key games NFC Championship games. All right, he lost five of them
because
he buckles under the pressure. Like, I think last year Shanahan was right to pull him from the 2 minutes of whatever game that was so controversial, because Donovan has not proven himself to be a 2 minute kind of player, a pull yourself up from the bootstrings and win this game 2 minutes kind of player. At the same time,
I'll agree with that all day. I'm just not going to sit here and compare him to Kerry Collins.
No, nor should you. Tisk, Benjamin. Tisk.
No, I definitely agree with that. And clearly he is not the same quarterback without Andy Reid.
Absolutely.
Andy Reid has demonstrated.
But you've got Adrian Peterson back there, man. That's supposed to be your guy. That's supposed to be your bread and butter. And how do you lose three games when you're up by 2017 points at the half and do nothing in the second half? Defense, offense, it's ridiculous.
When did the Vikings become the quarterback retirement village? why did they decide that'd be the direction of their franchise?
Well, yeah, they've had a lot of them, right?
Just two recently.
No, even before that, they brought in Warren Moon at the end of his career.
I guess Randall Cunningham.
Dante Culpepper. Yeah, that's right.
Dante Culpepper was a rookie. Oh.
Yeah, they did draft Culpepper, and they shipped him when that ship was starting to sail. But
Cunningham, never mind.
To throw it back to the question, I am surprised that Minnesota is 0-3. Even with that bad season with the Redskins, I still had a bit of stock in. I kind of thought that McNabb would lead those weapons to wins. You know, he does have Percy Harvin. He does have Adrian Peterson. Jared Allen is still making plays and nearly won that game by himself against the Lions last week towards the end. He had a lot of – he was making their tackle jump off sides. He was getting critical sacks. He was tackling for loss. I mean, this was inside of 2 minutes to play in the game. The Vikings still have weapons. It's kind of like the Colts. There's still weapons on both sides of the ball. You think someone could plug in and make them work. So I'm surprised they're 0-3 with the first half promise they have shown. You know, and also on that
I've
subject,
heard zero mention of Christian Ponder. Zero mention.
Why? Why would we mention Christian Ponder?
Because you mentioned Curtis Painter.
Curtis Painter played in an NFL game.
No, when? In garbage time.
Yeah, well, he played when he had to. I mean, Christian Ponder has –
Come on,
I'm talking about Curtis
Painter,
yeah, because he was on the field.
Yeah, you've had Ponder for a few weeks.
Yeah,
you've had McNabb the same amount of time. He there was no offseason.
McNabb's been in this league since 1999.
Come on, no one's gonna make that call, Ben. That not at this point in the season.
Just trying to figure guys out your arguments out here.
I'm just saying we can talk.
No,
about
you know, guess who has more passing yards in their career? Kerry Collins or Donovan McNabb?
Oh, did you just look this up and you're trying to draw us into a trap?
As a side note, it's the only stat I can really pull on Kerry Collins over Donovan McNabb. Touchdown, no. Interceptions, no. Pro Bowls, no. I mean, Kerry Collins has two Pro Bowls recently in 2008.
How many playoff wins?
Five.
Five.
I know that he's won as many Super Bowls as Donovan McNabb.
Oh,
yes, there you go.
By the way, Ben, good coughing right in the mic there, buddy.
Sorry.
Now we gotta do it all again.
I got a bit of a cold.
All right, start it over. Okay, and cover that. I think that's fine and good coverage of the Vikings as far as their surprising start. But I mean, are we overlooking St. Louis a little bit as far as being a surprising 0-3 candidate?
No.
Certainly the Dolphins. I mean,
are miserable. They are a terrible football franchise right now.
I mean,
I don't know. What do you say about them?
I
feel kind of bad for Sam Bradford. And that game they played against New York, that Monday night game, they had a lot of explosive plays, and then they crumbled in the red zone.
They played well against the Eagles, too. The game was a lot closer than that score, though.
Yeah, it was like, I don't remember scores. I think the Giants was 28-16, the Eagles was 31-0.
Yeah, the score didn't look good, but the Rams were competitive.
They've got some tough draws, and they have been competitive. I mean, it gets no easier that Baltimore comes to town next week.
No.
Excuse me.
They already did.
Sorry.
And they whipped them.
Yeah. And then, well, okay, now they get the Redskins, and that's going to be a tough out. I mean, for them.
Or this could be a chance, you know.
It is, yes.
The vulnerable Redskins.
Trap game. I mean, they've got a tough draw. You got the Eagles, the Giants, and the Ravens. Those are two perennial playoff teams with a lot of options. That's tough. And
who do you guys think is going to break the streak? Who's going to go 0-4? Who's going to go 4-0?
Who's going to continue it?
Yeah, who's going to continue on either side? The undefeated.
Miami's going 0-4. That is going to happen.
Who's
going to
break it though? Who's going to be 1-3?
Who's going to be the first?
Well, it's got to be either the Chiefs or the Vikings because they play each other. So I'm going to vote the Vikings.
Yeah, I'll go with the Vikings.
I'm going to go Vikings. I thought do I do it just to be different? Because I'm different. No, I do not. The Vikings have got to figure something out. You think they could just learn how to secure the ball a little bit better in the second half, but they're quickly finding themselves at the bottom of what is looking to be a stacked NFC North between the finally good Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers.
We do a sports podcast, Adam. It's pretty good.
Yeah, should listen to it. And by the way,
that's not that good.
We haven't even yet mentioned Green Bay at all, who's done nothing.
Do we need to? Come on.
Be dominating in 3-0 and just it's
they're already on cruise control.
Yeah, they're picking up right where they left off. However, you may not know that they are dead last in the league as far as a passing defense.
Yes, they are.
There is something to be said about that. They're going to have to figure that out because, I mean, let's be honest, though. The quality of opponent has not been the greatest. I mean, they did play the Bears last week, and, it was an impressive road win. But, I mean, beyond that, you had them probably allowing a bit too much offense against the Panthers.
Wouldn't you say 400 yards plus passing?
Yeah.
I think they did. I think they gave up a little too much in that game.
And the New Orleans win was a lot closer than it should have been. They had a dominating first half, and they let them get right back in the game. So they've got some tests coming up. I mean, they're on the road at Denver. They have Denver. They go to Atlanta, the big showdown in Atlanta.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's a Sunday night game. And then, I mean, they're going to have to sustain a little bit better. But, they get Oakland late in the season. They get the Bears and the Lions right at the end of the season. And, it's – They'll have to shore up that passing defense. Because, I mean, as good as their playoff run, their Super Bowl run was, everybody seems to forget that with 3 weeks left in the season, they were one loss away from it not happening at all. And everybody shoe in just, they seem to be the favorite across the board of the NFC and, to get back to the Super Bowl. Which baffles me because the football fans have short memories, and this Green Bay team nearly did not even happen if they dropped one of their last three games. And they are number one against the rush, which I should mention, but 31st in the pass. That's going to lose you games quicker than your rush defense. But certainly they look impressive in general. When you're 3-0, you can't really argue with that too much. But going back to that, Chris. You're thinking the Saints for the Super Bowl or the NFC?
The Saints are impressing me most right now in the NFC. Yeah, yeah.
Explain.
Well, I mean, first of all, let's just talk about Week 1 and Week 3. They were down by at least two touchdowns in both games, and they rallied in the third and fourth quarter to bring that number back up. They almost got it in there for the potential touchdown 2-point conversion against the Packers Week 1. It didn't happen. But here they come against the Houstons, who, yes, are but they're a shootout kind of team. They put up 33 points on them. And Drew Brees is cool. He's accurate. I like him. He's been there before. I like the Saints this year.
You did call them the Houstons, I just want to say.
Did I call them the Houston Houstons?
Just want to
call
just
them
me.
The Texas Houstons. Like, what's the – that's –
That is true. That does get confusing. The Texans, the Houston Texans. Yeah, I don't know. They have a great logo. The Texans have that going for them. I agree. The Saints look good, and they look good every year. And it's going to be a battle in the NFC South. And now that Tampa Bay is learning how to beat these division rivals like they did the Falcons, that's what's going to take for them to make a playoff push. So.
Albeit a pretty sloppy win, you have to admit.
Absolutely. The NFC South, as far as the Bucs-Falcons matchups, they're like Georgia-South Carolina, if you follow Georgia football. It's just it's an ugly game. It's not a ton of offense, and no one really looks like they deserve to win until, kind of in the last 2 minutes. And, it's if it's a win, it's ugly. If it's a loss, it's uglier. But I will say, in general, the Falcons have got to figure it out just a little bit. But let's wrap up the NFL, and we kind of skimmed over our game balls and our benchings. Let's go right to them. Chris, you already gave us your game ball going to Run DMC. And who's your benching? Who are you seeing on the bench?
We've been through this already, actually. Kerry Collins, bench him. And Phil Costa.
Phil Costa, the center of the Cowboys.
Who nearly cost him the game. Thank you for letting me use that pun.
Hey, that's why we brought you in, buddy. That's the Chris Genovese difference. Ben, let's throw it to your game ball and benching.
Ben left.
Just whenever you're ready, Ben. Just
after that horrible pun, I think he killed himself.
No, I didn't kill myself. I already gave my game ball to Tony Romo.
Yeah.
And I'm giving my benching to Kurt Coleman and Nnamdi Asamoah for allowing the Victor Cruz first touchdown. That was horrendous tackling. I think they pulled this flag, which doesn't really count for much in time.
I really think they should bench a guy they're giving $10 million to. I think that's a great call, Benjamin. Come on.
It's proverbial benching.
We're not.
Come on, Chris. Why don't you get with the show? It's good, Chris.
That's my team, man. It's just every time you poke them, it's like it's poking me.
Welcome to it, buddy.
I like double pokes.
Ooh. This show's going in a new direction.
No, let's keep it sports. Let's keep it with sports.
I bet you do want us to keep it with sports.
Who are you? What's your game ball and benching, Adam?
All right. My game ball, I'm going to Matt Stafford, who has looked great. And they're 3-0 start in Detroit, thrown for 60% of his passes, or completed 67% of his passes. I will learn how to talk one day. 977 yards total, 9 total touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. Looking good, kiddo. Making the Bulldog Nation proud. and my benching, just because I love to kind of hate on the former Falcons this week, I'm going to go with D'Angelo Hall. Whining about getting beat by Dez Bryant on a 3rd-and-21 last night on Monday Night Football, it was great to watch him get beat once again. But his comments after blame throwing, and I believe he had 6 bleeps in about 45 seconds. I was going to play this particular soundbite, but he's just such a whiny little brat in it. It's really not even worth it. It's not worth giving media coverage to. It's just you blew it. You got blown up, albeit on a terrible blitz call by the Redskins on 3rd-and-21 to bring the house again. You got to make that play. If you're supposed to be one of the best corners in the league, get out there and swap that ball. Didn't do it. You got beat. You still suck. You're benched. And with that, let's drop the heroes and the villains, because that's also something we do. And here's the thing, Chris: if we name someone the villain, it doesn't mean they need to be like arrested. We're not actually saying
yes. And if they're heroes, they're not going to have books written about them.
Yeah, I understand. I took the Nnamdi Asamoah thing a little literally, but
not the Kurt Coleman, not your starting safety.
Yeah, fuck just. Him. Oh, forgot about the PG-13 thing.
That's going to make a great bleep, though.
Oh, for sure. Chris, you're my hero. I'm going to...
You're my villain.
Man, you're the villain of this show. I'm going to start things off and get us back on track. Say my villain, Michael Vick, for the aforementioned on my own... on my own curse. On Mike Vick.
Double curse on that one.
Yeah, double curse.
Kirinov is not a curse. It's a curse if you're like a Mormon. That's the only way. And do you have a lot of Mormon listeners? I hope not.
We have 5. It's always 5.
Let's stick with the villain. Ben, give us your villain.
My villain is Ozzie Guillen for the way he left Chicago. What an awful, awkward situation just leaving Chicago and then not a day later being signed with the Florida Marlins. I mean, everyone saw it coming. But it was still a weird way to see a World Series winning manager leave a town.
Yeah, that's very true. It seems like Ozzie Guillen just got tuned out. You have enough, bleeped out press conferences, it just stops reaching the players, and he just seems kind of like a volatile dude. I mean, he seems like a likable guy, but it definitely seems like he's such a harsh taste that when he's done and worn out his welcome, it very much is done. I'm just surprised it didn't even wait, what, the 2-3 games till the end of the season for them? That was surprising to me.
It was very disgraceful and awkward. I don't know, just very weird feeling.
The most awkward timing, like, what, a day? Like, a literal day before the season would be over? It's interesting. It's weird. Chris, give us your villain.
My villain is Michael Vick. Let my team down. Let my team down. With his broken I'm sorry. Just getting this
contusion.
In. Contusion. His bruised non-throwing arm.
It sounds tougher. It says contusion.
It does sound tougher, but it makes him look like a girl when I say it's bruised. And that's the kind of effect I wanted.
He's my villain.
Michelle Vick.
You see the size of that cast he had on his hand?
No.
It was big, Ben.
It was... I just put the brakes on the show. No.
we're researched here at the Sports Chop Shop. Now, Chris... You're changing your villain, by the way, from what we said in the pre-show. Are you confident with that?
Who did I say in pre-show?
You had Eli Manning.
Oh yeah. I'm just trying to get my new T-shirt line off the ground. Fuck Eli Manning. Okay. I'm sorry. I know the no cursing thing, and I will get better about that. But I'm never gonna like Eli Manning or any starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
I'm going to spend so much time at
it. You really are. It's so much.
Could we record like a bunch of flippins and
So a double villaining, a double villainization of, what was that, Ben? Michelle Vick? I liked that.
I thought that slipped under. No, I thought no one heard that one. It's kind of
I didn't. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I slipped a couple things in, like, you know, when you guys were talking about the 2-1 Eagles and Falcons, I put the Browns at 2-1 right in the between there. It's gonna make for good podcast fodder. Like, if you listen to it back, I don't know, it's good.
Do we have to listen to
we
this?
We hope.
Is it up to us?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it's kind of honor system, Chris.
Then I'm totally gonna watch it. Listen to it.
That's great. Well, speaking of Chris being my hero, still. Let's get the heroes. We'll start with you, Chris. Who's your hero, buddy?
Phil Costa.
He drops a brick.
No. He's your benching. You have to have a different hero. This is how it works here.
Come back to me. I don't have a hero right
now.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready for this show.
You know what? I shouldn't have started the rookie. Shouldn't have done it.
I threw a pick on the first play.
I should have gotten in my bet.
I'm playing the role of Kerry Collins here. I'm going to go hero God for the amount of rain in Carolina against
Panthers. Is that fair?
What?
Can I just pull out a mythological creature at any time I want?
Anything. It's a hero. It's
my hero is a pterodactyl.
What did he do? What did he do with the sports? I was bringing it back to sports. Did he play football? You interrupted me. It was made for very good football. You know, harken back to mud football back in the day. I don't know. It's fun playing football in the rain.
It looked like it was a lot of splishing and splashing out
there. There was a lot of rain.
Looked like fun.
I heard it was a 20% chance of rain at the beginning of the game. Anyways, continue.
It was raining pretty good, even here in Savannah. I had actually a bit of a pool of water in my backyard. It was coming down, so it's not surprising here. 2.5 hours away, it was doing the same. My hero, I'm gonna have a nice story. Steve Gleason, the former special teams captain and backup safety for the Saints, who retired in 2008 after the 2008 season, after he announced that he had Lou Gehrig's disease, was presented with a Super Bowl ring by the Saints last week, kind of in honor of his contributions to the team before he had to, leave before their storied season. So I thought that was a great gesture and a classy move by that organization and a great moment for him. You got to feel good about that.
Have to.
You have to. If you don't, you must be Chris.
Ouch.
He dropped another brick.
I was about to say, by the way, if you were going to be Kerry Collins and be my vet, I wouldn't have to, like, interrupt you and, like, you know, intercept
just
your
smash me in the face randomly.
While we're in your talking.
Yeah.
Give me... Stop talking!
Maybe that's what Chris was doing.
Maybe. But, all right. So we're going to sign off here. So, Chris, here's what we do on the show. Here to end the show.
Please tell me.
We take a minute to talk about whatever we want. Just kind of a single minute to really dwell on whatever subject we like. It can be about us, personal subject, blah blah blah. Ben, do you want to get things started here?
I want to get things started, and I'm going to keep it very short and sweet. I want to take this minute to welcome Chris to the show. It was very entertaining creating this podcast with you.
Thank you very much, Benjamin.
That is my minute.
Now, Chris, would you like a minute this week, or would you like me just to take it home?
I need a minute. I know what I'm going to tell our listeners.
Oh, you're ready?
I'm ready.
I'm sitting. Right. I got my popcorn ready.
And you know, I'm excited for Chris's minutes because the man is a very – for us, those of you who don't know Chris, he is one of the
Don't
prep
it. I have no idea what my minute's going to be.
Okay.
My minute's very short and sweet. It's like Ben's. It's just a simple recommendation for everyone out there to go see the movie Drive.
I knew it was going to be.
You knew it was going to be a movie thing?
I've heard nothing but good things about Drive.
Yes. And and Chris is one of the better film minds I know on this planet.
Oh, is that what you're going to say?
I'm going to say
it. He's going to say it now.
I mean,
before when I interrupted him.
No,
he to know that? That you're going to go with movies.
It is what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Then I apologize. I thought you were going to say something else.
We're just feeling it out. We're just getting the report. This is great. We're just a couple guys having fun. For my minute, I will say that I will welcome you to the show, Chris. It's great to have you on. And I'm very excited for this season to get things going. For me, my personal endeavors, I'm pretty excited for this fall to get going on my master's thesis film. Getting that in pre-production, getting it ready to go, looking to shoot in December. So that's kind of what my current quarter's looking like. So it's
Are you casting?
I may be casting. I may just be casting.
All right. We'll
talk about this off the air.
Yeah, this is not.
A little post-game coverage. We can't let these people know. We can't let them know.
No, it's a mystery.
It's a mystery. All right, well, it's great to be back. We had the NFL Super Blowout episode. It's great to have you back on, listening to the show. We're going to be making this going again, and it's great to have you here, Chris. And
Thank you again.
You're very welcome. Till next time, we'll see you later on the Sports Chop Show.
Just
forgot about the PG-13 thing.
That's gonna make a great bleep, though.